Good evening and welcome to the March 10th, 2010 Board of Directors meeting of the Oceano Community Services District. Roll call, please.
Roll call. President Dahl.
Here.
Vice President Dean.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here.
Director Lucy.
Here.
It may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communication. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items not on the agenda. Thank you. Please give your name and city of residence for the record, please.
Carol Henson, Oceano. I just wanted to say that last week at the meeting, I'm out of breath. I was late getting here. There was a will serve letter for Pamela Dean, and there was some rendering of a structure on her property, and I was kind of confused about it in that I saw that the rendering of the structure that was proposed to be built was not approved. And I was confused about, in relation to her other property, you know, that wasn't, you know, I was confused about it in that I didn't see on her plans that she submitted in relation to the meter that she was requesting approval for in relation to her other infrastructure. And, you know, I didn't understand, you know, how you could present something to be considered before the board without approved plans. But anyway, I drove by her house because I was trying to understand the rendering, and I noticed that there was a swath of driveway which seemed to be a fairly new driveway, and it had been cut out and new concrete was there, and there were some cones there. So I guess my question was, in not seeing the water meter that she wanted in that connection in relation to her other infrastructure, I know that Pamela Dean said that she had paid frontage fees or connection fees or capacity fees, but none of that was clear to me, you know, how that was in relation to this meter, and it appeared like perhaps maybe a new connection had been made. So I just, you know, am wondering about, you know, when you put in services and, you know, there are certain fees, times, how many structures you have on the property. And I know that Pam said that she had paid those fees. So I would thank you.
Okay. If you have questions like this, the thing to do would be to come into the district to get those answered, not necessarily here at the board. So, yeah.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker from Los Osos, and I was a board member from the Los Osos Community Services District for 4 years. And I've been watching your board and recently watched the new appointment of Ms. Angelo, and congratulations. It does raise some concerns, her seating, and I don't know very much about the politics of your community at all, but this, having been a director and looking at the situation, I would ask that any time Ms. Angelo is the deciding vote, and I have a feeling you will see some swing votes at times. It happens. But that you as a director, each one, whatever side you're on, whether you're vehemently opposed to the direction your board is taking, while there's this uncertainty to protect your district from potential legal challenge from that vote, I would ask that you vote as a supermajority. Get a fourth vote so that in the future your district is not challenged by legal battles. Our district was challenged by legal battles to the point where we did have to file bankruptcy. Legal fees are incredible. And a bankruptcy attorney is about $400 an hour. So you don't want to go there. And I think just in these next few months, to do the business of the district. Each and every one of you needs to take that into account, and that you need to protect the district by voting with a supermajority.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. As you may remember, I promised updates on a periodic basis, and I wanted to do that this evening and also remind you about the meeting a week from tonight. We're having a gentleman, Mr. Steve Tabor, with the law firm of Chevalier, Allen, and Lickman. We'll be making a presentation at Rabobank in Grover Beach at 5:15 p.m., and to what extent that's occurred over the last decade or so. There is limited space, so if you plan on attending, please come early. There's about 30 seats in the community room at Rabobank. AGP will be videoing the presentation, so that'll be available for subsequent viewing. And as your board may know, there's been considerable interest growing in this discussion and this debate about the future of the airport. It's been brought up at the Board of Supervisors. Dave Congleton had me on his show last night, and we talked about the history of Oceano and some of the prospects for the future. KCOY is here tonight, as you may note. So there's considerable interest growing. Some of the discussion that's occurred at the board and what have you is about the economics of the airport. And so I want to just mention that next month, April 21st, will be a presentation from an economist on the airport, its present-day economics, what it's contributing in both indirect and direct benefits to the community now, and there'll be some comparisons about prospects and alternatives for the future. So I think it'll be good information gathering, and hope to see you there, and I'll be back for an update next month. Thank you very much, and I'm available for questions if you do have any.
Thank you. Okay.
Okay, there's nothing that I despise more than public talking, so I really feel strongly when I get up and talk, and I've taken a lot of time to research what I'm going to say, so I'm requesting, Ms. President Dahl, you do have the discretion to go over 3 minutes. I'm going to try to keep it over three, but I might go a little over. Yeah. I was real disturbed at Director Lucy's statement that California codes aren't laws, they are only guidelines. This is a definition of California law from the California State Senate California Government website. California law consists of 29 codes covering various subject areas, the state constitution and statutes. Maybe an example everyone can clearly understand, the vehicle code, which is a code, in section 22348 to 22366 covers speeding violations. If I was stopped by a law enforcement officer going 80 in a 65, and I use the excuse that, well, traffic codes are just guidelines, and I really feel like going 80, I don't think it would stop me from getting a speeding ticket. California codes are not guidelines, they are laws. When I pointed this out, Director Lucy stated she was on stage to you in writing, Government Code 61045 requires three affirmative votes, not the majority of two out of three, but three affirmative votes. He specifically stated to you in writing the appointee was not a properly seated member of the board despite being sworn in. You have chosen to ignore this California law because Mr. Seamus also told you, although it is not legal, unless your appointee voluntarily steps down, it would have to be challenged in court. I tend to think in analogies, an analogy being if somebody shoplifted but nobody turned them in, they get to keep what they steal. On February 10th, you violated your own rules of order. Section 2.5 states unless a board member states he or she is not voting because of a conflict of interest and steps down from the dais prior to the discussion, his or her silent or vote of abstention shall be recorded as an affirmative vote. In this case, Mr. Hill's abstention and Ms. Dean's yes meant it was a tie vote for the two nominees. This is a moot point because legally there still has to be three affirmative votes. Again, in writing to you, Mr. Seamus told you, while the board has the power to override the rules of order, you do not have the power to override the government code. I come back to how embarrassing the conduct of this board and some members of the audience are. To heckle Vice President Bean and tell her to resign if she didn't like it further shows how rules and laws are irrelevant if it doesn't support your side. This speaks to the larger problem that I see. You're making wrong decisions because you're making this a my side, your side, and dividing people of the district to think the same way, the goal being to win regarding what is legal or right. 5.3 of your rules of order is a joke. It states directors at all times conduct themselves with courtesy to each other, to staff, and to members of the audience. No matter how many people or how many times they address the board and ask you to stop the Jerry Springer conduct, you continue on meeting after meeting. I know my feelings are shared by many others in the community. I'm not alone in expecting this board to follow California law, to be courteous and respectful. I want a board and a community I can be proud of. You will have no credibility if you don't correct yourselves now. You're putting yourselves on the same level as those you go after and accuse of illegal actions. Please prove me wrong and show me you are ethical, have integrity, and want to follow the law. If you fail to do so, you're leading this district and you as a board down a path that can only end in disaster and further embarrassment to the district and its residents. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional public comment?
You have very important work to do here. I'm sorry that I'm coming to you with such a small matter. My name is Gary Hamill. I am a member of this community for a long time and a business owner at one time also. You all know what this is, right? $5 currently to pay this completely off. As I came into the office yesterday and I talked to Mrs. Davis and Mr. Montemuro, and they said, well, I could write a letter or I can come in and talk to you all. Being that they'll shut my water off by the 16th, I thought this would be the most the easiest way, the quickest way to get some answer on either a forbearance or a deferment on the $25 so that I can go on. I had Carol Ann pull my records because I was wondering, you know, about my I don't do this very often. The last time I was delinquent was actually this month, 5 years ago. That's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing. Mm-hmm. I would think that it might, because you people have a lot more important things to do than this, there might be something in play that the people in the office could take care of this instead of me coming up here in front of you to do this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Has anything been worked on this or done about this, or?
Not at this point. We found out yesterday, and I explained to them, you know, we have a process like a letter is written to myself, then we look at the previous bills and stuff. But because of the timeliness that this is going to happen the 16th, I says, well, you can come and, you know, ask at the board if we should waive the policy. It's the board's...
Well, we don't have anything in the agenda to be able to talk about that, to do that at this meeting.
I didn't know for sure whether or not, you know, he was going to be here. And it was too late to put it on the agenda because we found out yesterday. It's just a timeliness situation. If we had more time, it would have been easier for myself and the office staff to deal with it. But we found out yesterday, and the timeliness is the 16th.
So there's nothing we can do as a board until the next meeting, and there's nothing that can be done at the office without a board motion or board action, is that correct?
I've got to think there's some policy allowing the general manager to make a decision on this. I don't have it in front of me right now and what his powers are addressing specifically this type of instance. I've got to imagine there's some kind of authority granted in the general manager to make decisions on this, and I would think of the emergency status, perhaps a deferment.
If that's the case, and
I wish to have put in the minutes, we have all been informed by our attorney that Lori Angelo's appointment to the board was a mistake and that it violated the law. We have also been informed by him that any matter which is decided by a 3-2 vote in which she was in the majority is subject to being set aside. That could result in litigation against the district, which would be a waste of the taxpayers' money. Therefore, I request that she not participate in any matter where her vote is going to be the deciding vote. I also request that this statement I just made is included in the minutes, and I have it here to include. The supermajority would also be a way to handle that. So I just wanted to say that before we voted on anything this evening.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I'd like to say a couple of things. First of all, I'd like to stand once again corrected on my confusion regarding codes and penalties and laws. That was my error, my mistake, my confusion. I too would like to see us move on and be more productive, but I also, too, would like to serve the community of Oceana without being called names. And that gets a little discouraging once in a while, but as a representative, I agree to take on 100% of the responsibility, and I guess that's being called names as well. So I would like the president to consider putting on the agenda for the future maybe a discussion around the will serve letters and our responsibilities, because there is a significant number of letters in here, and there are two projects that are, well, they one was tabled, I think, was the Woodard project tabled, right? And looking closer at another will serve project that was put in, that was put through. If this is going to be continued to be our responsibility to oversee these projects and look at them, then I really think that we need to do it with a little bit more knowledge as to what our role is, such as who has to put in curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, and who doesn't have to put in curbs, gutters, and sidewalks, and who gets to put in partial plans, and who doesn't get to put in partial plans. And so I think even a discussion would help people to make these rules of order that have arbitrarily been made up. I am adamantly opposed to handpicking them to meet one's, let's just say, bend the rules so they feel better about their decisions or whatever. But I am opposed to saying, well, you know, we'll bend it here if you agree not to do that. You know, we made a decision. We based it on the policies that were in place at that time. You know, and that's just it, you know. So if you want to talk about dismissing what you call the rules of order, then, hey, you have my attention. But if you want me to modify them to make it appear to be more ethical, no, I won't do that.
Okay. What I would suggest you do on the question of as far as the will serve letters and those is Mr. Montemuro put together a list of the responsibilities and the rules and who is responsible for what, and according to the questions that Director Lucy asked, give her a call, find out if there's any additional information or questions that she has in regards to that. Get that information to her and copy to the rest of the board. And then at that point, if you want to have something on the agenda to discuss it farther, then if she wants that on the agenda, put it on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay, well, then I'd like to make a motion that the project on 19th and Wilmore become back up on the agenda for consideration.
Okay, you're talking about
the partial project that was submitted at the last meeting that we unanimously voted on. I asked that it be brought back to the board for consideration, and maybe there'll be more pieces in that project so we can make a better, clearer decision. It's a partial plan.
Okay, I'm not.
I would need a second.
Not exactly sure what you're looking for.
I don't think
for.
It's a motion. I think you're just requesting something to be on the agenda next time.
Yeah. Instead of instead of you sending me out a bunch of rules.
And I note also that in the last meeting, one of the directors asked for the quarterly asset report to be on this agenda, and two directors asked for the mid-cycle budget report to be on this agenda, and I. Perhaps the agenda is too long. I don't see it here tonight, but I would hope and join in the request that those items be on the next agenda.
the phone bill for three and the credit cards for how long?
2 years, please.
Director. Angela, you had something to say?
Yes, I do. Under board member comments, it's concerning the warrants. On there is a check listed to be paid to me for the meetings that I've sat here, and I would like for that monies to be set aside separately in an account to help fund for the accounting software and not come directly to me. Just I'd like to have it go there so it can help fund for that. That's while I'm still here.
Okay. Get with the attorney during sometime after the meeting and see how that needs to be done legally. Okay, it takes us on to item number 5, review and approval of the minutes.
Item number 5, I would ask that we approve A and B and that we bring C back at the next meeting. I've received some comments. We were aware of, on page 10, one item is incorrect. We have the wrong vote, so we want a chance to correct it. And since then, a couple typos have been brought to our attention. And what's missing is when we stopped for break and when we adjourned. And for that, that's my fault. I take full responsibility because usually I don't check in at the minutes, but last meeting we were short, and Gina does a much better job than me, so she writes in there what time we stopped and what time we started. So I would ask that we just review and approve A and B, the January 27th meeting and the February 10th meeting, and we bring the February 24th minutes corrected at the next meeting. Thank you.
Okay, any public comment on the minutes? Okay, hearing none, bring it back to the board. Any discussion on...
And the district's rules of order, not Robert's rules of order. So it may have misspoke, or it may have gotten in there wrong. On February 10th, the correction, the staff present, Ryan Fotheringill, was present on February 10th. And on page 5, number 4, the names of the applicants, David Cifredini was left out. He was the number 4 person. And then I know we are not talking about, or I do want to say something about the February 24th minutes. A whole segment of number 5 was left out. So I've gone through the minutes that were left out, and I'd also like to have my letter and the attorney's letter input into the as an attachment to the minutes, because there was a question from the public about that particular thing. So I'm going to give you both of those, both my letter, the minutes, and the attorney's letter that I'd like to be included in that. And that should be what that I have. And I think anything that's attached to the minutes should say attachment to the minutes, so because it looks like it's run on from the minutes, and that was another thing I had on February 24th.
Okay. Anyone else have any comments, corrections on the minutes? Okay, then I'll entertain a motion on the January 27th minutes.
Move approval as presented.
Have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'd like to have that move approval as corrected with my one issue, if you could do that.
I'm sorry, Director, I thought that Hill was on the 10th.
That's the 27th.
And that was, sorry, on page 4.
Yes.
Correction to the district's rules of order. Yeah. Then I withdraw and move approval as corrected.
And I would second that.
Okay. Just for... Okay. Do I have a motion? Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay, and we will bring the February 27th, our 24th minutes back to on the next agenda. Okay, this takes us to our reports. 6A, Commander Haskell from the Sheriff's Department. Welcome, and thank you for coming. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good evening, Commander Brian Haskell, Sheriff's Department South Station. Just have a few items to bring to your attention this evening. As you might recall, we had a homicide that occurred over in Napomo on Benita School Road on the 15th of February. About a week ago, we made an arrest in that case. A gentleman named Alejandro Carrillo, 27 years of age, from Guadalupe, was arrested for the murder of Pedro Gonzalez, age 32, who's also a resident of Guadalupe. Our detectives are continuing to investigate that case so that they can successfully bring a prosecution in court, but we're pleased to have this portion of it behind us. Several things that have occurred in Oceano recently. On February 22nd, we had a vehicle registration tab stolen from a license plate in the 1500 block of Paso Robles Street. Not sure as to the time frame of when it occurred. It was reported on the 22nd. On the 28th, on March 1st, we had a lawnmower reported stolen from the back of a pickup truck that was parked on the street in the 1500 block of 16th Street. That theft occurred between February 28th at 7 o'clock at night and March 1st at about 7 o'clock in the morning. So that brings me to the topic I bring up about every other month during these meetings, which is unsecured items. We also had a theft over Napomo. A lady left her purse in her vehicle unlocked on the street overnight and made for a very easy target for somebody walking by. These are tough economic times for everybody, and leaving things unsecured. And age 19, a resident of Oceano was arrested for attempting to break a window off of a vehicle that was parked in the street, and he also spray painted some gang graffiti on the rear of the vehicle at the same time. So we're real pleased the deputies got there in time to arrest him after a short foot pursuit and recovered all the evidence that we need to prosecute that case as well. We also are seeing a slight uptick in gang activity this month, and you'll probably be seeing our gang task force out patrolling the streets. They have been working a number of cases in the area, and we're hoping we'll get successful prosecution on those and try to reduce the incidence of gang activity we have in the area. And that's all I've got this evening if anybody has any questions.
I noted something. Our flooded sign right out here near our entrance has been graffitied.
I noticed that this morning. I didn't get a chance today, but I'm going to call County Roads about that tomorrow morning and have them come down and either replace it or hopefully clean it. They've got a cleaner that'll take that paint off.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Any questions from the public? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate you being here. Okay, this takes us on to item number 6B, the fire department report. Did anyone from staff want to give that, or shall we just receive and file it since we have a written report? Oh, there you go. All right.
Good evening. February report, during the month of February, we had a total of 43 calls, 27 of which were in Oceano. Four were in Grover Beach, four were in Arroyo Grande, eight with CAL FIRE, one of which being on the dunes. Of the 27 calls that we had here in Oceano, 19 of them were EMS, two were fires, and six were miscellaneous calls. bringing our average about to 1.5 calls per day. We're at the end of February, we're at 115 calls. Same time last year, we were at 125. So a little less, which is a good thing. Training for the month of February, we focused in on fire ground operations, utilizing a ladder truck, and different capabilities we have with that. And then also we worked on medical triage and once again went to the shop. It was out of service for approximately 2 weeks for a major oil leak in the air compressor. Also, we had the tension device on the fan pulley. Was the bearings in it had came loose and it needed to be replaced while it was up there as well. Just to remind you, the engine is getting to be pretty old. It's a 96, so we're going to continue to more than likely have maintenance issues with it the older it gets. And as far as operations, I had the fortune of attending a state training class. It's a class that allows us to, it shows us the new techniques of instructing our fellow firefighter members and being able to instruct classes. It's the first of a three-series class. So those are the classes that were held this last month. And I can answer any questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the board? Any questions, comments from the public on this?
Did you do any tsunami
rescues?
Yeah. With the last full moon and the Chilean earthquakes, I noticed that the tide was pretty high there for a couple of days. Did you?
We did have a tsunami advisory. And we were notified by our dispatch a little late, but we basically prepared, checked all of our equipment, made sure our mass casualty was in order, contacted State Parks, PISMO, and worked with CAL FIRE in all the preparedness and making sure that we were where we were supposed to be and basically up to the training level that they expected, and we all were on standby for it and had moved to higher ground during the hours that it was supposed to strike, and basically nothing happened.
Is anybody checking on the buoy out there? Do you have direct access to the readings on the buoys out beyond the breakwater?
That's handled by County Fire, so any that information would go to the County Communication Center. And they would relay it down to our dispatch, which is Grover PD.
So you did that?
Yeah. Direct? Semi-direct, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone else? Craig?
And the crew also disconnected and plugged an existing sewer lateral that was no longer in service. The necessary parts for the high-pressure pump on the sewer cleaner were received. Dan installed them. So the sewer cleaning machine is now back in service. We received a report of drainage problems in the bathroom sink at the old fire station. We checked that, and we had to replace the complete sink drainage system from the sink, through the wall, through the floor, and out to the 4-inch sewer line in the street, or in the lawn. In the water department, there were two leaks reported. Both leaks were found to be in the customer's backyard. One of the leaks was the result of a hit-and-run incident in the middle of the night. We also installed a new water service on Beach Street. To keep from having to dig a big hole in fairly good pavement, we elected to make a short water system shutdown in that area. This allowed us to make the connection to the new water service. We survived two annual inspections during the month. One was a hazardous materials inspection. The other was an inspection by the Air Pollution Control District. He checked all of our diesel engines in the yard and the number 5 Waukesha. He took pictures of all the engine arm meters. And both inspectors stated that it appeared we were doing everything they require, and they did not issue any corrections of any kind. Other jobs completed during the month included maintenance work on the electrical operating system of the Waukesha booster, and the crew also worked on the antique streetlights, cleaned up graffiti on our fence at Well 8, and we had an Alden worker who spent most of his day cleaning up the edge of the streets and sidewalks in front of Well 8 and the old fire station. Max and Dan attended an excavation class at United Rentals Yard in San Luis Obispo, and we worked on and submitted numerous will serve and fee letters for various proposed construction projects in Oceano. February 2010 was a big month for collecting water samples. In addition to the regular weekly samples we collect and have analyzed, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency notified us that OCSD had been selected for assessment monitoring for unregulated contaminants in drinking water. Under the Public Notification and Consumer Confidence Report regulations, we must notify the public of this monitoring and of any positive results, which we will do. We spent a good portion of one day collecting 4 water samples from each well, 4 additional samples from the distribution system. Then we shipped them all to an EPA-designated approved laboratory in Cincinnati. The district produced 49...
Utility Department report.
Public...
They're from the board right now. You have something, Mary?
Phil, have we figured out who is responsible for the maintenance of the test sites on Pier? Is it the county or...?
Well, it's going to be a joint effort, I suspect.
Okay, but ultimately, whose responsibility is it going to be to keep that so it doesn't... the same situation doesn't happen again.
I think
we're in the process of deciding that. We just recently, in the last couple of days, received permission to actually have an easement access to go to the wells and perform some more additional maintenance. As to the maintaining, we're hopeful that we're going to ask the county for some money, but in realistic... We really don't believe we're going to get any, so probably it'll be shared by what they refer to as the Northern Cities Management Group.
So it's basically the ratepayers in the Oceano area, or?
Well, not just the Oceano area. The Northern Cities Water Group consists of Grover, Oceano, Pismo, and Arroyo Grande.
Zone 3? No,
we're talking about the maintenance of the well, for example, on Pier Avenue, correct?
Correct.
And like I said, that...
So the county owns the well, and well, the
county,
other group,
the, county was
the,
north, given,
the northern county, was, county
the
group
county
is
was
gonna...
given
one,
the wells.
One at a time, please.
The county was given the wells from the state. Now we have received permission from the county to access them, to make improvements. But as far as who's going to pay for the maintenance in... Realistically, we expect it'll be what they refer to as the Northern Cities Water Management Group. The county should participate, but we don't really think we're going to collect. We're going to try to bill them.
Okay, would it be fair to ask who funds the Northern Cities Collective Group?
It's based on how much water we consume, how many acre feet. That's how the formula is worked out for the bills. But the participants are the city of Grover Beach, the city of Arroyo Grande, the city of Pismo, and us, the Oceano Community Service District. This is a result that goes way back to the groundwater litigation, and that's
right.
What put it together, and that's where it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else from the board have any questions? Anyone from the public?
Phil, you mentioned the EPA choosing Oceano.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you explain what that's all about? I mean, do they choose other districts, or why did they choose Oceano? Or?
Yes, they chose. We were one of 800. Well, there's more chemicals getting manufactured every day,
right?
And they're looking for things in the wells that, you know, we've never had to look for before.
And we were one of the 800 in the country chosen.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, it's nothing that we've done wrong or anything. Just they chose Oceano. That's interesting.
Yeah, they said it was voluntary, but if we told them we wouldn't do it, they said they would have probably made us.
Excuse me, what was that now?
They said it was voluntary, but when you talk to them, it really wasn't voluntary. You know, they paid all the expenses.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
This is probably a question that Phil's going to need to answer, and I should know it, but I forgot. The well that is ran by the natural gas motor, how much does it pump? How many gallons per minute does it
700.
Pump? 700. And the quality of that one is?
We've had, in years past, we've had nitrates, but the nitrates went away, and we have selenium on occasion over the limit. So normally when we run that well, we run an electric well, too, and the blended water is below the
right
limit.
In a case of a electrical shutdown, would that water be good enough to?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, this takes us on to item number 6D, administration report.
The administration report for the month of February. The administration prepared agendas for one fire committee and one cancellation notice and two regular board meetings. Staff also proceeded with will serve fire safety plan and fee letters approved by the board and extended invitations to the candidates to attend the meeting regarding the board vacancy. During February, staff processed payments totaling $2,710 and mailed 455 late notices as of February 24th. On March 9th, 119 door hangers were distributed. The monthly nitrate and selenium blended program reports were prepared and submitted to the state environmental and county health departments. The staff also assisted with the completion and delivery of well production. State Department of Parks and Recreation staff assembled and transmitted various documents regarding the transfer of the land lease from OCCI to the Lucia Mar Unified School District. Apparently, the only step we missed was notifying the state. After receiving the documents, the state has now sent a lengthy letter of questions that need to be answered. The deadline for that is the 15th, and we'll do everything we can to answer them by then. The leaving office statement was prepared for former Director Barbara Mann, and the statements of economic interest for the directors and the OCSD employees and contractors were prepared in accordance with the district's conflict of interest for distribution at tonight's meeting. They're on your desks. Other correspondence transmittals handled by the administration included correspondence zone 3 notifying them that board has appointed Mary Lucy as its new rep, notice to the county clerk recorder regarding the selection of Lori Angelo to fill the vacant position of director on the board, notice of rejection on the claim submitted by Mr. Bookout, transmittals a preschool fire inspection to the Department of Social Services, paperwork for the alternate worker who had completed his hours of service, and the nomination by the board for local CSD representative to LAFCO. And this concludes our report for February.
Thank you. Any questions from the board?
It sounds like a lot of work.
It was a very challenging month.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, comments from the public? Okay, this moves us on to item number 7, consideration of warrants. Any public comment on the warrants? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Any questions or concerns on the warrants?
Vern, I'd like to excuse myself for the fire department funds for Craig.
Okay. Anything? Anybody else have anything?
I had a question on page 4. The streetlights, we didn't have a total on that for the total cost for the streetlights.
I think page 4 is really page 3, and page 3 is really page 4.
Oh, so I didn't see. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, thanks.
That should be fire department?
Yes. And then I note that the on page 9 the cell phone bill is almost $450.
Yeah, what was that about?
2 months.
What happened there on the cell phone bill, it reflects 2 months of payments.
2 months.
Last, there was $203 previously owed. So now it's up to date with this warrant.
Any more?
I have one more on the Kirk and Seamus bill. Is that our final payment for the big payoff?
For what they referred to as the arrearage or the bank? They
right,
referred to
the
it
bank.
As yes,
hours,
that
so
concludes.
This is it.
That was per our. The easiest way I could think of doing it was one third each month. We
yes.
paid a third in January, a third in February, and this represents the balance.
And so we're up to date with
yes.
our legal
yes.
fees.
Yes.
And Raphael, on the Seamus bill, was that modified to because of the extra hours that were spent on items that were?
The bill reflects, for example, in the consultation, it'll say 4 hours, but then in the billing, it'll show two. So I believe that it's adjusted correctly.
Oh, but there's no areas that say that we credited.
No,
for this amount of hours and
basically what it shows is hours that were billed. So there are hours that services were provided for which we were not billed.
You'd have to be keeping a time card, to in order to actually figure that out.
There were a number of things on the itemized bill that said that there was no charge. Some of the charges were time was spent, but no charge was made to the district.
So we should just
take the itemized bill does reflect that. There's an expense reimbursement, I think, to Captain Angelo that's on one of the warrants.
And,
that
and she
we
said she wasn't going to vote on that.
Right,
what
so
I'm
we
saying
were.
Is our instructions to us were her personal check for last meeting to be credited to another account. We can take care of that.
What the best way to do it is a motion for the for Captain Angelo's check first, and then we'll do the rest of the warrants.
I'll move approval of Captain Angelo's check.
I'll second that.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor,
aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Okay, carries 4-0. One abstention. And entertain a motion for the remaining warrants.
Move approval of the remaining warrants, noting the correction that vehicle 6100 should be charged to the fire department.
I second that.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Okay. This moves us on to item number 8A.
Item number 8A. It's a discussion regarding our audit. I was instructed by the board in the December meeting, it was a unanimous vote, that our audit for year 2008 through June 30th of 2009 should be a forensic audit. At that time, our auditor, Moss Levy, refused that assignment. It's with great pleasure that this evening we have Kathy Niffinger, who's a CPA and a principal of Glenn, Burdett, Phillips, and Bryson. And I have the privilege of working with her and her firm for over 5 years in the past. I found absolutely nothing but professionalism, and they're very, very good at what they do. So I would ask, besides the things that I'm aware of that the board is concerned about, past check numbers and concerns about looking for situations in which are red flags for fraud, I would ask if the board has anything specific that they share with Kathy and then hopefully we'll move forward. My only concern is they're so busy. I hope that we can complete the audit before June 30th of 09. Kathy, would you come to the microphone, please? Thank you.
Making some distinctions there. What's included in an annual financial audit? What are we talking about when we're saying a forensic audit? And certainly in the annual financial audit, any of us independent CPAs are required to plan the audit and design the tests with an idea of what are the risks of misstatement in your financial statements, whether it's from fraud, whether it is from error, for whatever reason. We always want to think ahead of time and say, what could be the problems here? Now, let's try and focus our attention and our time on the things that are, you know, bigger issues, because those vary by client. But having said that, you can imagine we cannot look at, any auditor cannot look at all the transactions for the year. I mean, we would be out here all year just like your staff. So there has to be decisions made on how much to look at. There's always sampling involved. Why don't we look at a few items, see how those go, and attribute that to all of the items, all of the population. So that's a very integral part of an annual financial audit in terms of how it's designed and the limitations on it as well. So it's not looking at something 100%. As Raphael mentioned, the records are not yet ready to do the June 30th, 09 audit. I understand you finished your June 30th of 08 audit. But in the meantime, I know that the board has expressed concerns or desire for forensic audit. And in a really technical sense, forensic audit means doing the audit procedures with a view towards submitting those to a court of law. And it's usually something, if there's a contract dispute or if you've identified fraud in your transactions and you're going to be pursuing that, you know, forward in a legal sense. And even though that's the technical term, I have many potential clients contact me, you know, with the terminology of a forensic audit, but what they have are some very specific concerns about how particular transactions are being handled. And so it's very common for me to get those kind of requests. And I did speak with board member Hill and your general manager, Raphael Montemuro, in order to get an idea of what kind of concerns there were or what things done, if not 100% basis, 100% for some period of time. And that's what helps identify what's the problem. And so the way we normally structure these are called agreed-upon procedures, very straightforward. Ahead of time, we agree on exactly what is going to be done, how many, or how often. In other words, do we look at everything for 1 week, for 1 month? Do we look at 10 items per month? Do we look, you know, what is it we're going to look at with a view toward giving some responses to the board about the particular areas of concern? And so let me give you an example on that. So if you have concerns that there were checks that were dispersed and that they didn't come to the board for approval, and I do understand that there was a problem with the check printing and the feeding and some problems with numbers not matching up. But ultimately, whether the numbers matched what it said, you know, initially on the report you got, you want to know, did the board approve the things that were actually dispersed and cleared the bank? So then we think about, well, how might we address that? Should we look at everything that you approved for a month and then take a look at everything that actually cleared the bank? Or you know, or a year or a week. Again, you see what I'm saying, is we look at all of it. But the outcome of that is a written letter from us that says, here's what we looked at, here are the specific items, here are, let's say there was something that was not approved by the board. So we'd say, here's the item that wasn't approved by the board. And then, or, you know, what if it was 10 items? So it might be one item, and you'd say, oh, yeah, well, we didn't approve that because it's just it's our recurring some sort of expense you never would expect to approve. Or maybe, you know, oops, somebody left it off of the list, but when you look at it, you said, well, if that had come on the list that month, we absolutely would have approved that. Or you look at it and say, oh, we have a problem, we would never have approved that. So even though it takes sort of the special auditor expertise to go in and perform all the work and report back to you, there's then some responsibility of management or the board to say, what do we do with this information next? So that's just a really simple example. I also understand that you know, you're getting payments in, cash and checks, you know, all day, every day, in order for residents to pay their bills. And so you're interested in. There might be other particular things that you have concerns on, but it would be separate from the annual financial audit, and that's one reason it doesn't need to wait until all of your records are ready for your June of 2009 audit. So it's separate, but it is very particular procedures and geared toward exactly whatever the board's concerns are. And these are, you know, normal for us to do. And certainly it can't be unlimited in the sense of we will look at every transaction of all disbursements and all receipts and all payroll for the entire year and then, you know, and then read it and tell you those back because, you know, there's just a cost-benefit analysis. You wouldn't, and I would not advise, you know, to pay the fees to do that to that extent. But sometimes what I find helps is do some particular work, report back, and if there's some problems in that, extend it. And then report back, and if there's some problems in that, extend it. And that has a couple benefits. One is if there's really no issues or you realize right away that's not a problem area, you really want more time spent over here, it can be adjusted. And you can also keep a little better track on the fees. Because this is the sort of thing where we can't really estimate in advance how long is that going to take. It's not like your annual financial audit where we know start to finish what that process is going to be and propose a fixed fee coming in. And so we say, as you have the work done, we keep careful track of it, and it's, you know, the hourly billing rate for that. But we also report back very promptly, here's what we found. The other thing that I noted and just bring forward as an alternate idea is as part of your annual financial audit, the June of 2008 fiscal year, you did receive a number of recommendations on your internal controls from your current auditor. And, I'm not positive, but I don't think that all of those issues have been addressed in terms of how are you going to respond to those, how are you going to improve the controls. I know some of that certainly must relate to your accounting software, and so I know there's some work going on toward that. But there's others that are process related. Is some assistance in how do you set up your procedures and controls to address and respond to these? And I should mention that there are because CPAs need to be independent auditors to do the annual financial audit. And so there are certain things that can be done and still remain independent. So those agreed upon procedures that I described, we would remain completely independent and could also then come back when you're ready to do the annual financial audit. But other things, such as designing your processes and controls, we can't design them and then audit them. That would not be independent. That would be working as management or helping management. So I point that out because that kind of goes into the decision on, you know, how do you go forward. So I did, thank you so much. Clearly I'm talking too long if I need a water break. I did recap some of these ideas in an email that went to your board member Hill and Mr. Montemuro. And also provide our firm's hourly rates. But I thought it would be good to just come give some background information about what I'm envisioning you're asking for and then get some input from the board or questions from you, you know, after this presentation. So I'm open to any of those now.
Okay, thank you. Is there any public comment on the staff report, or the reports given so far? Okay, any questions from the board? Comments?
Yeah, I do.
Discussion input, go ahead.
Thank you for your presentation, because you answered some of my questions already about sampling and how you approach things. And you are aware of our accounting system being a dinosaur, and it's being a very big problem. In fact, our new accounting system is on the agenda for tonight that we're looking at. So I think a lot of these things, you'll see that what our auditor said last time will still be true, because they haven't been fixed. Some of them have been fixed. We have a way to deal with our tax deposits, our payroll tax deposits now, and those kinds of things have already been addressed. And our general manager has been on top of things, trying to get those things addressed as much as possible with what we have to work with. Committee to look at, and I believe they should bring some ideas back to the board, and the board can contribute also to what they think should be a part of that. And it gives us time to do that. My worry is timing and being able to get this done in a timely fashion, because of course we're way behind. We think we have excuses, but it's not good excuses when you're dealing with this economic climate and rate increases clouding our horizon and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think I'm going to have to ask our general manager if we can get this done in time for you to do it in a timely fashion, and you yourself say how long would it take to do kind of a sampling type of audit.
Well, and that does depend a lot on which areas that the board would like focused on.
Yes.
And that's why I gave, a number of examples, but either, working through your management or your finance committee to just even come up with the list. Okay. I certainly have availability and staffing to start on that right away. Mm-hmm. It's the annual financial audit that I know the records are not ready yet to be audited, so there's some other steps that need to be done, and I know that's the parts being discussed, that hopefully that could be done and be scheduled and completed before the end of this fiscal year.
Yeah.
But I know the goal of the board and the management would be catch up on everything so that on a monthly basis you have the financial information you need. I understand that's the ultimate goal.
Yeah, that is. Yes, thank you.
Director Hill.
So I understand that the scope of work that you're proposing would be in addition to the regular annual audit.
Yes, and very particularly because the types of steps are so different than what is called for in an annual financial audit. And even though every CPA has some professional judgment on how much to do or how to go about it, basically, that audit is one level of service. There's not really, audit light and then, audit extra. So anything that is desired in addition would be the separate, standalone, agreed-upon procedures going in-depth to the particular areas of concern and finding out what the issues are. Mm-hmm. After the year end is done, even if that was done, every day and every month in, those were all up to date, then there is getting the information together for the financial report, the actual document you get, at the end of that. And so let's take, for example, if all of your bank reconciliations are not yet completed. And when I say reconciliation, is what does the bank say you have in cash? What do your accounting records say you have in cash? Well, what are the differences? Just like your checkbook at home, checks I wrote, they haven't cleared yet, a deposit I made on Friday, and that isn't in there yet. That's a process that you may not be up to date on, need to get up to date on. But that would not prohibit going in and saying, what checks cleared the bank, what was the list that went to the board back last, July of 2008. That's why they're two different things. That's why that needs to be done before the annual financial audit, but it's not necessarily to be done before doing the agreed-upon procedures.
Mm-hmm. So the agreed-upon procedures could start next week, or they could start relatively timely,
right,
regardless of whether the board or whether the district had gotten the records to the point where it could be subject to a standard annual audit.
Right. Now, there may be something, as we get into it and say, this is the procedure you want. You want all those bank reconciliations looked at. Are they being done? No, they're not. They're not ready. You know, so there could be something that's not available. But in these type of procedures, many of the transactions that are looked at are the original transactions, the daily transactions. And so those exist, whether or not all the records are up to date. Right. Does that make sense?
Yes, whether the records might be stuck in a shoebox someplace, but ultimately the records are there. So whether the district has got around to looking through the shoebox and gotten everything in order so that it could be audited, and the records are still there so that you could look at them and perhaps go through that process and make some judgment about it.
Mm-hmm. And maybe to keep in mind that would be some staff time to, you know, gather up those records, hand them over, et cetera. So I don't know how much that would, dilute the effort of preparing for the annual audit, but there would be some staff time involved in terms of providing records. Action is, and so that's when, you know, you have to decide, do you want to evaluate the plan of action and say, okay, we're on the right track, or do you want to have some assistance in getting the changes made relative to the recommendations?
Okay. Anyone else?
So you talked about capturing and sampling financial records. So let's talk a little bit about capturing, not dollars, but behaviors on how we do things that aren't necessarily on paper. Excuse me. Being from a small community, every community does things a little differently, and there's relationships and there's history, and sometimes that, and it commingles in what you're trying to do in your town. Personalities and relationships, it just happens, you know? And so how do you capture some of that? Say, for example, and I'm going to, if I give an example, then somebody's going to interpret it as the gospel. And
could I jump in before you even give that?
The next minute, I'll have six people lined up public comment correcting me. So
could I give some feedback before you give an
Great.
Example?
Thank you.
To stick to my particular area of expertise as a certified public accountant, I would look to address what are the processes and what's defined in here is the internal controls. How do you go about doing things? And, for example, there might be something where, we talked about this. Let's say a lot of people pay in cash, but there's not very, it goes in somebody's drawer, and at the end of the day, you don't have a good cutoff, and so some goes on today and some goes in tomorrow. I'm not saying these are your problems. I'm just kind of trying to give some examples. So let's say that would be an issue. I would have comments about how should the cash come in, get logged, get recorded, get cut off. You know, what should be the process step by step? Who's there to do that? I would not get into the personality of who does that, because I think that's more of a management issue, and there's no particular expertise I have relative to that.
Let me take it just a step further. Well, because I've seen this happen in other small businesses, and I have not seen this happen here. But how do you stop or capture somebody writing somebody a check, bringing it over to your friend who runs a business that has a lot of cash, and stamping deposit only on it,
cashing
and depositing your check, and that person who has a lot of cash cash in your check. Mm-hmm. How do you capture that? That's what I mean by behavior.
That's a great example, because that actually is one of the things in terms of what are good internal controls that should not be done. All the cash should be deposited intact, and then if you need to pay something back out, you know, you pay it back out. And so if that happened to be a particular concern, let's say you said, well, I think that's happening a lot for your organization. And again, this is just an example. I have utterly no idea.
You know, an example.
But certainly we would need to look at that. If there's checks coming in, are they being paid on a particular account? In other words, it's that person's account for the dollars that they owe, or is it I needed $500 and it's like, well, who is this? It's not our customer. So that could be identified by
or the check isn't even made out to the district. It's just passed through the district.
And again, there should be procedures, the district in Ohio, policies, I guess I should say, in place to say, the district's policy is you don't accept two-party checks. That might be one. Okay. The district's policy is you don't cash out, you know, you don't just cash personal checks for people. That might be two. And if your organization or any organization came to me and said, well, those are our two policies, but I actually have concerns we might be doing that, absolutely, the transactions could be looked at for some period of time, identify if that's occurring, say, here's how many we looked at, here's how many times we found it, here's the ones that we found, and then it becomes a management issue, not an external auditor issue, to say, how are you going to deal with that? How are you going to better train your staff? How are you going to have oversight so that doesn't happen?
So basically, the policy drives the decision, drives the board, I should say.
Right.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And then, so you mentioned records and shoe boxes, and I'm not one to criticize because I have boxes in my, oh boy, do I have boxes. But so what do you do when there are records just out and out missing? I mean, I can say I have them, you know, I mean.
Well, certainly, aside from the financial audit, just if we were trying to do these agreed upon procedures and here were the results, what is our follow-up needed?
Right.
Was that an improper disbursement? Okay, that's a real problem. Was that, wasn't documented very well? And so depending on what you can get from your bank, usually even if you don't get your checks back, if you had a particular one where you said, I'm missing the documents and something cleared for $1,000, but we don't know what it was, you can go back to the bank and find out a copy of it and at least see who was it made payable to, who signed on the back.
Right.
So.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
But cannot find, you know, if there's no support in the file for the
invoice, it's gone, it's
and
gone.
The approval, yeah, can't do anything on that other than identify it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, what's the rates? We're talking about money here, cost to do this.
Did that go along to the board? I provided our current billing rates are.
Our current billing rates are principals, $215 to $350 an hour, managers, $185 to $205 an hour, senior professional associates, $135 to $160 an hour, client accounting professionals, $100 to $185 per hour, technological consulting, $135 to $235 per hour, human resources consulting, $135 per hour, credit and collection services, also $135 per hour, administrative associates, $75 per hour, and support associates, $65 per hour. These are the present rates for Glenn, Burdett, Phillips, and Bryson.
And some of those have some pretty wide ranges of per hour rates. And we actually have, for specialized services, for example, litigation support, expert witness, estates and trusts, mergers, these type of things, are at those higher rates. The annual financial audit is at the low end of those rates. So, for example, my personal billing rate as a principal is $215 an hour if it's for the annual financial audit. The agreed-upon procedures that we're talking about, much more specialized, it's $250 an hour. And I don't do anything that goes up to 350, but we have people in our firm that do, very specializedly for the two of us together on that week. You know, half my time, half the other person's time, maybe it's 7,000 or 7,500. But the reason I said specifically for these types of services, I don't say, well, here's my fixed fee for it, because it's all designed for you. It's what do you need and how long does it take? And so I find on these kind of engagements it's best if once a week I say, here's what I accomplished and here's the recap of the time that I spent, so everyone can keep a very good handle on it. And then the annual audit, in terms of the fees on that, I said I'm not. I didn't actually provide a proposal for a fixed fee because I felt like I hadn't talked to your prior CPA at that point in time, which I would be, you know, required to do. And there's so many steps that still need to be done before you're ready. And so I did say probably at the point where you're actually ready for audit, it would be in the $15,000 range. But that is not, you know, a firm quote. That is a really rough off the top of my head without looking into your records or talking to your prior CPA.
Okay. And if you're doing these forensic checks on different parts of the accounting system, are you also looking at doing the annual audit here at the same time right now, or would you have to be doing the, or would you be doing, would your firm be doing the annual audit if only, or doing the forensic only if it's doing the annual audit?
No, I keep those completely separate, and okay. So we could start on these agreed upon procedures right away, and the point you're ready for the audit, whether you would like to continue on with our firm and we'd give you a firm quote on it, whether you wanted to continue with your prior CPA firm. I do understand that that would be a possibility as well. But and my understanding was that your current CPA did not want to propose on doing any of the agreed upon procedures, the forensic audit work, for whatever reason. I would be doing those with the mind of staying independent. So if we did, then we could still bid on doing your annual audit. Where, as I mentioned, if instead you said, oh, come in and just help us design our controls and systems, then I would not be able to propose on doing the annual audit because those are not a lot.
So basically what we need to do is we need to figure out what we want looked at. And then when we know what we want looked at,
open and communicative, so you know that, and can assess what you're getting back for, you know, for the funds that you're spending.
Okay. All right. Thank you,
okay. Kathy. Thank you for your presentation, and I'll call tomorrow. We'll compare notes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Okay. This takes. Yeah, at this point, we're going to take a short break. Okay, coming back to order from the break. Okay, we are just finished item number 8A. I'm going to take item number 8D out of order, so we will do item 8D at this time, which is a resolution of appreciation to Cindy J. Winter. So this is one of these items that we always are proud to be able to do. And so, Cindy, if you want to come up. Pamela, I'm going to have you read this, if you would, please.
With pleasure. This is Oceano Community Services District Resolution Number 2010-2, a resolution in appreciation of Cindy J. Winter for distinguished service to the Oceano Community Services District. Whereas Cindy J. Winter was hired to serve the Oceano Community Services District on July 25, 1983. And whereas, as administrative assistant, secretary, bookkeeper, and office manager, Cindy J. Winter, has served the district well, discharging her duties in a capable and competent manner, often giving of her time and expertise selflessly, and whereas Cindy J. Winter works continually to increase her knowledge and skills, finding innovative ways to discharge her responsibilities for the betterment of the citizens of the communities of Oceano and Halsey with increased daytime response and protecting lives, property, and the dreams of our citizens. And whereas the Oceano Community Services District wishes to recognize Cindy J. Winter for her faithful service to the district, now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District that the Board of Directors of the OCSD hereby extends to Cindy J. Winter its expression of esteem and gratitude for her faithful, honest, and dedicated efforts, and hereby declares that she be commended and complimented for distinguished service to the Oceano Community Services District and to the residents of Oceano and Halcyon for 25 years. The foregoing resolution is hereby passed and adopted this 10th day of February 2010, and we've all signed it proudly.
It's always nice to be able to do those things and have people like Cindy who's worked for us. Okay, this takes us to item number 8B.
Discussion and recommended approval of new purchase of accounting software. Well, it's been a long time coming, but I'm very pleased to say that this has been a project that this is all the information that I have collected. So if anybody wants to share any, I have it all readily available. But what I'm going to do this evening is I'm going to speak briefly, then I'm going to introduce the gentleman from Tyler Technology, his name's Craig, and then I'll close. The recommendation for the board at this time is approval. The staff has completed the utility billing and financial software research process detailed below. The new billing and financial software is intended to improve the efficiency and capabilities of the Oceano Community Service District. The district has performed the following evaluation steps. assessment of current software, costly programming and upgrades, incompatible with Windows, obsolete technology, and inefficiency. Identified government, water, utility billing, and financial software vendors. Identified those vendors who meet our needs. Set up on-site demonstrations at the Heritage Ranch Community Service District and the Montecito Water District. Contacted multiple water and city agencies for reviews of their current software in regards to overall satisfaction, implementation, training, and customer support. Surveys. Results of surveys of local agencies are offered on the internet by the California Society of Municipal Finance Officers. Results of these services pertaining to software were evaluated. After extensive research and analysis, we have determined that Encode software best fits the needs of our district. Encode has proven to surpass the staff, and it was a pleasure to see the people that have this type of software, how well they work with it. And on the week at a glance, I sent out some stuff for the board to look at, little things like the retention rate, how high it is. I don't know much about software, but I am an economist. And in the past, I had looked at the finances of the company. So I sent out a copy of the balance sheet, the income statement, the cash flow. It's a publicly traded company. It trades on the exchange. They're doing extremely well. I felt all that was important because I don't want to recommend a product to this board and then, you know, a couple years from now, our staff needs help or we have an issue that we're working on and the company's out of business. And often you can read horror stories, and the state went through this. They did business with people, started projects and stuff, and then there was all kinds of blame going on as to why it wasn't completed on time and so on and so forth. Besides paying way, way more at the end, they never finished the project. Whereas the rate in which this company completes their projects is extremely impressive. So for now, I'm going to have the representative for this area speak, and then I'll conclude with what I'm sure the board will want to know, the price. That'll be my closing argument. Would you please come to the microphone? Thank you.
Okay, excuse me one moment. I'm going to break in here a little bit. I did not get a chance to give the public the opportunity to speak after the last item, which was my mistake. I forgot to go to public comment to give the public a chance to talk about or make any comments as far as the resolution of appreciation to Cindy Winter. If there's any public comment on that, I know they're gone already, but if somebody wants to say something, it still will be broadcast. So is there any public comment on that item?
Well, I know that there were several people here who wanted to speak, but she got an award and they left.
Yeah, okay. All right, please continue.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the board, administrative and legal personnel. It's good to be with you. My name is Craig Dixon. I come visiting you tonight from your cousin community of Oceanside, California, where I live and work, to begin by complimenting their research. Normally, when I work with an entity, a district or municipality, they often just call the customers. They might make a one-site visit, but your staff went the extra mile and actually went to two of our customers, visited with them thoroughly, and checked out our system in action, which was terrific. Also, the sales presentation was very detailed. We had in this room, we had a projector, and we went through the system, and Ms. Davis asked a lot of tough questions. It was a very thorough process, so you should feel good about the work that they did. To introduce our company, Tyler Technologies produces accounting software and utility billing software for local governments, municipalities, districts. We also service some schools. And we're hoping that you'll consider partnering with our company, which is about 8,000 customers, local governments here in the United States, that partner with Tyler Technologies. Now, we don't look at ourselves as just a software company that sells you some software and wishes you luck. Nor are we a company that is just a custom programming person that you call just one person, and then they customize the system, and then over the years, the system becomes outdated and you're in trouble. Nor are we like Microsoft, that's always changing so much that we have to pay for these continual upgrades, do we not? And so So Tyler has a unique perspective. And so let me highlight just a few things on this handout that might help with that. First, on the setting the standard in local government, you'll notice that we've been around for 25 years, so we match Ms. Winter's dedication to local government, and it was a pleasure to see what she's done. And we're in the business for the long haul and servicing our 8,000 customers. Okay, I stand corrected. We've been around in those 25 years. One of the reasons why we've retained the customers at Tyler Technologies is because the technology improves year by year, and we don't, unlike Microsoft, come back and ask you to pay again. And so what you see here is a diagram that demonstrates a one-time license investment that will fund basically ongoing your current technology, but then of course ongoing future technology. We have an annual maintenance program that we've also already proposed and built into our proposal that Mr. Montemurro will present to you. But that basically ensures a long-term investment, a lifetime partnership with Tyler Technologies, so that you will never have to go through this process again. Secondly, as a software company, it's important that our technology is comprehensive. So you should see that there's a number of modules here that we have to offer the agency, and if the district is interested in growing into other applications that are not on the docket for right now, then that's always an option and a choice for you. Also, you should see that this is a study performed by the GFOA, the government finance, very focused. Okay. On the back, we also wanted to just highlight to you the fact that we don't view ourselves, again, as just a vendor that sells you software and wishes you good luck. Obviously, to retain customers, our goal is to support your system for the future. And so support is something we take very seriously, as Mr. Montemurro mentioned. And, of course, ongoing services. I was talking with Kathy, who made the presentation earlier, about auditing. And you should know that implementers would come on site to install the system are also CPAs, degreed accountants. There is a portion of our proposal that we've included for business process and consulting. So again, what we want to do is learn what the district is doing here and improve those processes by doing a business process review. And that's also part of our planned project. Basically, to wrap things up, we just want to mention that our goal is to be a long-term partner, not just a vendor. And so it's my goal tonight to see if I can address any questions. I believe, Mr. Montemurro, do you want to go ahead and speak first, or would you like me to take questions right now?
I think it would be appropriate for the board to ask you questions, okay, because I want to save mine for last, as you know, the funds.
Okay. Well, then the last point is I did include in your packet also a listing of the customers that we have here that are on this particular version for Southern California or for all of California. And so you can see that we have a number of agencies, including the city of Goleta, districts like Montecito, Carpinteria, and Casitas, and, of course, Heritage Ranch CSD, and a number of cities here in California. Are there any questions I can address for you about our company, our proposal?
Okay, thank you. First of all, if there's anything that the public would like to add or ask or say at this time, public comment? Okay, any questions from the board?
I have some. And I have to thank our general manager for working through this and putting so much effort into his analysis. And one of the major things that comes up for me is, I mean, this sounds like a great software, but do we have the hardware to be able to operate your software? And are we going to have to invest in new hardware?
Good question.
I've spoken with, his name's Ivan, the gentleman that works on our project. I gave him the information. He believes that most of the stuff that we have we'll be able to use. Okay. What we might need is, for example, presently our bills are done in Lawson. We could stuff the bills by hand and send them out. That kind of technology we have. We won't know exactly until Ivan looks to see how much power, but maybe we might have to put another print board or something in our what's that thing called over there? By the server. There you go. That's the word I was missing. But otherwise, you know, we feel that the biggest expense will be this project. We might have to buy a few little things, but not much.
We did provide a systems recommendation requirements to run our system. Now, that's the document that Mr. Montemurro is referring to.
And that's the document that Ivan is reviewing as to see if it, because you can get messed up really easily if you don't have the power and the memory and all of the things. And my gosh, you'll also go very, very slowly if you don't have that. So I just don't want to be looking at only one part of it, because often you get hung up with hardware costs, and that part we really need to know about too. I had a question. Do you have any other than Heritage Ranch using your system, your software system here in San Luis County?
Montecito is in Santa Barbara.
Okay.
So. That's right. So no, not right now. We made a presentation at a few districts today, in fact, but no. Heritage is the only one that's live on the ENCODE version. Now, Tyler also services a number of other municipalities on the Eden software line, which is significantly more complicated and expensive, so we didn't think it was a good fit, but Arroyo Grande, Atascadero, and are a few to name that are somewhat in the area.
Does Heritage Ranch do billings like we do for water and sewer, or is it, do they do utility billings is what I'm asking.
They do utility billing.
They do. And they use our product to do utility billing.
Okay.
And they even print them and stuff them and mail them.
So do they have the stuffer?
Well, that was the piece that, like I say, that's not in here. You know, I wouldn't propose it because I don't know what it would cost, and I didn't want to spend money on that because trips. Here in when Craig came in our boardroom, Gina and I attended. At Heritage Ranch, Carol Ann and Alma and I attended. At Montecito, Alma and I attended.
Were they separate demos for each kind of thing
there? We asked different questions at different places. So, for example, when there was no doubt in Carol Ann's mind that it would do what she needed for the accounts receivable at Heritage, well, then we didn't take her on the road trip to Montecito. At Montecito, we did more payroll and accounts payable type questions, and we actually went on a day that they were doing the payroll for the Montecito Water District.
Okay.
So, you know, it wouldn't have been economically wise to bring the accounts receivable to watch someone run the payroll. They're not going to do that. You know, I have done myself a tremendous amount of research and questions. And like I say, in here, these are all answers. There's nobody else that comes close. There were other vendors that provide services, but then when you start to get to the California specific stuff, they didn't understand the pension plan. They didn't have the ability to program it so that it's California specific. You know, I want a system in here that when the first of the year comes, it upgrades so that we're confident that we're, you know, deducting the correct amount of taxes and Social Security and stuff from the payroll, and I want a system that works with the PERS. The other ones just didn't have it, whereas mm-hmm. that sheet that you have there, the 42, they're all California clients. And what I really like about that sheet, now on mine I have it marked, but memory fails me as to which ones, but there's actually people on that sheet that replaced their closest competitor. Like I say, now there's nobody, you know, in this league. The rest of them have way, way less clients. But I found that extremely important because I figure, well, if someone took their competition's, they replaced that product, obviously. I had to go see for myself to make sure that the upgrades that are supposedly free were actually free. And guess what? They were. And I found that most impressive.
That is very impressive, because usually you pay.
I had to go see it for myself.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't believe him, but, you know.
So what do you think?
And quote, Montecito paid $76,000 originally. And now, for example, just easily it would cost like over $120,000 or $125,000 to implement what they have presently, because since then there's been three upgrades, and they got all three of them for free. Whereas Santa Barbara, Montecito, they just implemented that. As a matter of fact, some parts of it, they're still learning how to work, but they really, really like the system. I mean, they really like it.
So what are your most, what's the best thing about the system besides the upgrades that you see for our operation?
Well, I'm very security minded. You know, different people specialize in different things, and I have a passion for security. This system has security checks and balances, and you know, you can program that this operator will only be able to input bills, and this person, you know, can pay bills, and this one's got cash. And it's got a check and balance system better than most that I've seen. And Gina and I saw that right here in this room. And I was really impressed. I spoke with Heritage Bank, as Director Lucy said. Some people have accounting stuff in shoeboxes. Well, Heritage Bank said that in the past, in the past, Heritage Ranch had bankers' boxes full of stuff. And when the auditors went there, you know, for a couple of weeks, all they did was shuffle boxes. Well, now, last year, when the auditor went to Heritage Ranch, they went with a memory stick, and they plugged it into the software that we have, you know, the desktop stuff, and they brought up reports that the auditor needed, took the memory stick and left. They were there like a day and a half. So the system, besides being more effective and a better product.
Particularly, that's an antiquated one too, as if you've seen it.
We did see your website. So.
Okay. And one other question, and this is our general manager. I know you say we're spending a lot of time with this accounting system that doesn't need to be spent, and that we could do. Does this equate to not only saving time, but maybe saving, not having a personnel or something like that, not having as many personnel?
You know, that's always a management issue. But at one of the sites that I visited, after this program was up and running, they're presently doing what they did previously with less staff, if I understand your
that's
question correctly.
That's the ultimate goal of my question, I guess. And we'll wait to see what the costs are, you can tell us. You gave us some idea of what Montecito spent, so I'm hoping it's not more. Okay,
anyone else have any questions, comments to make?
The system runs on PCs, is that correct?
Yes, it's a Windows-based system, client-server.
Windows-based system, so for example, when our rate analysts need information in an Excel format, then it would be readily compatible with that.
That's right. We have exports to Excel for our standard reporting. We also can send out reports through PDF to people that just want to see totals and so on. So there's a lot of integrations with Microsoft Office in terms of Excel. Word we'll be leveraging to send out notices and letters using mail merge functionality. So we'll definitely be leveraging Microsoft Office, you know, for some of those things.
And the concern about costly hardware then would be... if it runs on PCs, it's probably not going to be real expensive hardware.
If you were comparing that to the S400 environment, you will be saving money over the long term. Absolutely.
Quite right.
Anything else? Director Hill?
That's most of it.
Director Lucy.
So it says it has an overlay program in it. So if you're working off an old spreadsheet, you know, like a works, let's throw works out there when it
into the system through some tools. That particular thing just means, forms overlay just means that we come with a tool that allows you to design your own forms. You can design your own checks, your own reports, your own purchase orders. Anything that's generated out of the system, put your own logos on it. We support secure signatures where you can digitize and encrypt signatures and put those on forms. So that's something, you know, forms overlay, that's what we're calling forms overlay. Maybe you can give me an example of something else, or did the importing, is that kind of what you were thinking of?
Well, that's a good enough answer for right okay. now on that. I wanted to ask management a couple things, too, is do we have a mail house right now that we use for billing and stuff?
Well, I don't know exactly what it's called, but yes, our bills are created in L.A.
Okay, so Gina's shaking her head yes, so I know you could speak to this.
Their business partner.
Okay, so our water bills are created. We send them the data, they create the bill and mail it out, right?
They print it and mail it out.
Okay, would that eliminate that?
Oh, I see. Yes, in
beyond
the sense
licking
that
of the envelope, you know.
Right. Forms Overlay allows you to bring all your printing in-house, printing on blank paper. Should you choose to go to that extent.
Okay, well, let me go back and ask the question okay. differently then. If our bill looks like this, right, mm-hmm. we can format your system, enter in the data, and then you can create the billing system versus us putting the data, you know, and into a PDF and sending it over to the mail house. You can do that, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
We can do that.
Can you keep databases? If there's a duplication in your database, will it flag it? Can it be programmed to flag?
When you're talking about flagging, I want to make sure I answer your question right. Can you give me an example of what you're thinking of?
I enter an account number for this company A, right?
Okay.
And somebody already came in and paid on company A, right? Mm-hmm. In my machine will say, this account already exists. Do you want to continue?
Okay, very good. So yes, whenever we create new accounts, whether it be general ledger accounts, utility billing customers, AP vendors.
The question, too, is do we use a payroll service? No, we do that. We do that in-house, right? Okay. All right, thank you.
Director Angelo?
I don't have any questions. Good.
I have one more. Sorry.
All right.
Does it have a limit on cost centers that you can create?
There's no limitation as to the number of records you can create for projects, what we call projects or cost centers.
Uh-huh.
Same, if that's what you're referring to. Are you talking about, would you like to give me an example of something you're thinking about?
Well, like my system at work, I have 250 different cost centers in there.
Mm-hmm.
I have 250 different companies that I'm going,
sure.
you know, and my software is unlimited
right.
in that aspect, but that's what I do. Okay. Is there a limit on how many cost centers can be created, such as water would be a cost center,
right.
you know, and then all your fields would be made up
sure.
in water. Sewer would be a cost center. Is there a limit to how many cost centers?
Well, it sounds like you're asking, is there a limitation to the chart of accounts and the cost centers within the individual line items? And there's no limit to the chart of accounts.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Okay, any more questions for anybody? You know, it sounds like a great system from what we're hearing so far, and I think it's important that we get a new, you know, get an accounting system in here that is a little more up to date. The problem I have is I don't have, you know, I don't like to be hit with surprises at the meeting. I would have liked to have known in our staff report, you know, what the cost of this thing is, you know, before we got here. And you know, and have something to compare it to. And I don't know if this is something we need to go out to bid on or not. You know, that's kind of right now a little bit of my concerns, because I don't know if I'm, you know, it's nice to have, you know, the premium equipment, you know, software out there to go on, but without knowing the price and knowing the difference between, you know, the Cadillac and the and a cheaper version, and
on the balance left, just so the staff had a baseline to work with, so maybe you could explain a little bit more what you're needing.
I'm just wanting to know what, you know, in a sense, I'd like to know what else is out there, so I have a comparison of, you know, this company does this, and this company, and another company does this, and, you know.
More than the folder he has?
Well, I'd like to, you know, I don't want to spend 20 hours going through a bunch of documents. I'd like something that's kind of what we have the staff to do, is to give us some overall comparisons and why this is the, you know, it is, but why is it the choice, and you know, the second best choice, what do we lose, and how much are we paying for what we're gaining by taking this choice? You know, I mean, if the difference between this software and the second choice software is more people use it, you know, but it's going to cost three times the amount of money, then I may be more inclined to go with the second choice than the first choice. And if the but if the difference is something very significant and the price is very in, you know, very little, then the choice is more, would be more oriented toward this software. So basically, you know, I don't know what the cost of the second choice, you know, the cost, I don't even know what the cost of this one is yet, much less the cost of a second choice would be, or what, you know, what the ongoing costs are. You know, there must be a monthly charge as well associated with this. So those are, you know, kind of the questions that haven't been answered yet, to make, you know, to for us to make a logical decision.
Right. Well, I just need to know how many more years we're going to talk about this, because I have recorded 5 years. We've been discussing a new system, and that the proposal that was put on the floor is that the system that now is in there costing us a fortune would be drop kicked down the driveway December 31st, and that didn't occur. Now it's March, and it's 5 years and 3 months we've been discussing this, partly from the audience, partly from the table. So if you could just tell me how many more years you need, then I will stop holding my breath and stop counting to make a decision.
You've made that statement about six
times. So if you could tell us, well, I mean, some of us have been sitting here years. Go for it.
Are you done?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
It depends on you.
Well, I can't talk until you stop.
Go for it.
Okay, thank you. All right. The only thing I'm asking for is some comparisons of what the other softwares that were looked at, and why we're looking at this, and the cost comparisons of the different ones. So if staff can put that together for the next meeting, that sounds great to me. So if that's the case, I would need 2 weeks. And I would like to know what the costs are before I show up at the meeting. And I don't want to go spend an extra $20 a month on somebody's water bill or whatever it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be, because I don't even know what the costs are yet. Okay? Without knowing what the options are. So that's my concern. I would like to, I know that this is important and we need to get a new system in here. But I also want to make a wise decision on it. Then I want to just jump on anything that shows up too. I like what I hear so far, you know, and it's very likely this is the way we would go the next time, providing the prices are within reason And we can get this information before we show up to the meeting so we can think about it and not have a split decision that we have to make. So that would be my, my concern. Okay, I think there's some requests for some more public comment. So, public comment.
Karen White, Halcyon. I just want to know if this has to go out to bid.
That's another question I have.
You know, I don't know what I was wondering is what your criteria is when stuff has to go out to bid. Because if you're spending $50,000, $60,000 or whatever you're spending, I'd like to know if there's other vendors out there.
Yeah, thank you.
Dave Angelo, Channel. It sounds to me, just to kind of echo what Pam said, that, you know, she complimented the staff on the research that they have done. And it sounded to me like they've done extensive research. You know, this is something you buy every, 25 years? You know, I think if you're going to, you know, if it's something you're going to, you know, it's going to last us 25 years, you might as well go with the, you know how electronics is. I mean, you got to get the newest and the greatest today because, you know, how fast technology is changing. And there's probably nobody in this room that's any more cost conscious than I am when it comes to trying to buy the right thing. Get your best bang for the buck. But it doesn't sound to me like this is really even something you could put out to bid, because it'd just be apples and oranges from what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Carol Henson. I'd just like to say that I do believe in other meetings when the board directed staff to look into the computer system for the district, that the general manager did examine and explore other systems, and look into other systems. And after weighing the different ones that he looked at, he did determine that this was the best system that he could find cost-wise and available out there. The thing that I think is most interesting is that this company will provide any new upgrades that are to the system at no cost, and I don't think we'll find that anywhere. And the other thing is, you pay for what you get. And if we go out there and buy some cheapy system that doesn't do the upgrades, you may spend your whole budget every month trying to keep up with upgrading to keep up. And I think Mr. Raphael has taken different staff members on different occasions, and I think they're pretty impressed. And the alternative is the dinosaur that 5-6 years everybody has admitted needs to go, and even set money aside, what it costs every month to send out the bills, to have somebody come in and run the machine, and all of those overhead for that thing would be able to come back in to the
bidding procedures that we'd use. Say, for example, when we did the exhaust system in the firehouse, we wouldn't have to follow those. I believe there are some internal procedures that the board has put forth requiring a bidding process for any contract over a certain amount. And I, correct me if I'm wrong, I think $25,000? Okay, $30,000. We hit a little kind of a twist here, because this is not, and again, I'm not a software guru, but we're looking for something very particular here that meets not only the needs, but the certain requirements that we have based on the services that you provide and the equipment that you have. So it might be a difficult thing to go out and bid on, but I do believe that there are bid procedures based on what the board has put forth as the cap on spending without doing that bidding. So The answer is it would not be illegal for the board to get this contract without some kind of bidding, like it would be if you went out and did a public works contract without the bid. But the internal procedures have put in place. We've just got to figure out exactly what that bidding procedure consists of, considering the requirements that you need.
Yeah. Well, I don't think this would have been an issue tonight if we had at least had this information as far as the costs and so before we show up to this meeting, and some of the cost of what else was out there, and if the costs are close, there would have been, you know, it'd be a non-issue. And but you know, I'm just, I don't, you know, there's, we got you know, we got problems sometimes where we don't get information on time, and some of us don't even want to vote on stuff because the information hasn't come in on time. And and so that's, you know, one of my concerns with what's happening is that you know, we know what's going on before we show up to these meetings so that we have time to think about these things and to be able to weigh what possible options or what possible things we may want to or want to ask for. And those don't always come to you at the last minute. Sometimes those come to you as you're thinking about things. But anyway, General Manager Montemiro, please give us additional information on what's going on here.
What I would like to touch on now is, second of all, that was why I went to such great lengths with the upgrades and stuff. If you want to pay now and you want to pay more later, then that's, you know, the board's choice. But that wasn't my choice. As far as recommendations, I made the recommendation. I sent out information at the week at a glance. I wrote the staff letter for the recommendation of this report. I went to great lengths to see how we could afford this project, and it would be almost budget neutral. And that'll be my closing argument. My closing argument is we have $41,000 presently in this year's budget. And that's a combination of two things. One, they had it, put it in there for computer stuff, and one was money that was going to be spent to remodel this room. So, with the $41,000, okay, we have two options. I was going to recommend that the board pick which one they liked. I can live with either one. One option is that we pay $41,000 upon signing of the contract. And I went to great lengths to get this option because often this project, it's just leased because this way you don't have to come up with the money up front. And then at the end of the lease, you buy it for a dollar. So to even be more cost-effective than that, and a lot of people, for example, Montecito, that has more money than we have, you know, they leased it first. Then they liked it so much they paid it off. But the point I'm making is, you know, it's like if Phil needs a truck, you know, to run the utilities, the truck, we can't pay for it up front, but we still need a truck. Well, that was how I approached this project. And they were kind enough to say that, sure, we'll take whatever money you want to pay up front, and that figure doesn't change. I'm going to have two proposals, and I would recommend a vote, you know, vote it up or vote it down, whatever. But vote on it this evening. And one proposal is that we give them $41,000 up front, that we also include the training and the annual as the question was raised earlier. I knew someone would raise it, so I looked into it. And that is, well, during the year, what does it cost you to run it and to have the support and the online and all that other stuff? And that would be the same $41,000 up front because that's all we have. And then beginning June 5th of 2010, monthly payments of $3,043.11 for the same 60 months. Now, obviously, one will want to know What's the bottom line? The bottom line is the project costs $115,625. And that includes getting it up and running, the programming, the instruction, the whole nine yards. And if you take that figure, that's how you get the monthly lease payment of $1,837.14. If you add to that $11,831, which is maintenance, and $600, which is training, so that every time something new comes out, you get trained for free, you end up with an annual cost of $12,431. So my recommendation was going to be, we have $41,000 in the budget. So all I'm asking for is one payment in June of 05, which is still this budget, and whether that payment would be $1,837.14 or whether that payment should be $3,043.11. Because then when July 1st comes, we're going to have a new budget, and we're going to take the lease payment, and the budget's going to balance, and it's going to be in there. And as far as, you know, total cost, the economist in me says there's fixed cost, there's variable cost, and there's total cost. I'll bet you lunch for a week that if we take the money that we've spent on the AS400 in the last 5 years, it'll be less than this. Plus, what's the value of 5 years from now, knowing your fixed cost today? That's priceless. So therefore, on my recommendation, on months of work, on having analyzed, if anybody wants to analyze this stuff, they can. There's other companies we went through. Now and then, you're going to get five upgrades. Heritage Ranch paid $76,000 in 06. Their thing is worth over 100 today, but they haven't paid another $30,000. So my recommendation is board approval. And whichever one, it's very, very little difference. One is $1,800 a month lease, and one is $3,000 a month lease. They're both doable within next year's budget. And as someone else eloquently said in the audience, you get what you pay for. Now, you want to pay $60,000 or $65,000 for a system today, and pay between now and the next 5 years three times that in upgrades and service, well, that's your choice. You want to get in a lease agreement with a company that you have no clue if 3 years from now is going to be in business, that's your choice. You want to get in a lease agreement with a company that's going to give you a lower bid and then have all kinds of add-ons after, well, you can do that.
And this company
trades on the exchange. Their financials are outstanding. I want to partner with this company and move the district forward. I don't want to have someone come in here and give me a low bid, and 3 years from now they're out of business, and then I have a computer that I have a system that I can't get any service for, and I start the project over again. That's poor management.
Okay, so you're assuming that this company can do all this and every other company is that scenario.
Actions speak louder than words. Okay. Look at the retention factor.
Well, I have not looked at every other company, but I kind of find it hard to believe that every single other company out there has all the problems that you're saying and have all those concerns, and this company doesn't. But my main thing is why could we have not gotten this information in a staff report ahead of time, these numbers, these financials, so we had a chance to look at what the two options are and weigh them and understand them beyond and be able to come back with questions.
Computer.
Gina?
What's the topic? So,
yes.
Can you, the $3,000 a month for the support package, do you have to do that for the whole 60 months, or could you do it for the first 12 months so that we know what we're doing, and then?
For the total system, or $41,000, the lease payment, and the maintenance, so that the economists say you have the total fixed cost for the next 5 years.
Now, that's another thing that has an intrinsic value. That is, 4 years from now, what do you intend to go out and buy for less money than you're going to buy today? Not too much. So if I'm going to lease it, I want to lease it for the full 60 months so that at the end, for $1, we own it. That's good business. It's a business. It's an economic decision. And I am confident I wouldn't be recommending it to the board. I take my recommendation serious, and I wouldn't have waded through this information unless I thought it was valuable. For example, reports that I would absolutely love to present to this esteemed group, such as expense reports, dollar cost averaging, budget reports, they're all here. They bring them up on the screen. This stuff is priceless. The comment that Director Lucy made earlier, and I didn't want to interrupt because he was at the microphone, this is the chart of accounts. This is how the chart of accounts looks in Montecito. It starts 1,000, first thing, petty cash. 1,001, cash drawer. This is the kind of stuff, I can pass it around. You can look at the top 10. And then it's broken down so that they can actually, out there, track, like, for example, if Phil's crew's out working on a job, the system will actually track which job those expenses go to. So, you know, if you want to take the district forward for the next 5 years and know what that cost is today, then I recommend approval of the recommendation. And that concludes my report.
All right, any comments from the board? Anybody else have anything to say?
I still have a question on the hardware that Ivan's looking through.
On the hardware, you know, at the most, we might have to buy some type of strip or a booster for the server. But that's about it. All this stuff runs on the desktops. That's what's so special about it. Because then what you have is, for example, if you have five employees, you have five people that can do their job at the same time.
And
about not making colored stuff, because mm-hmm. the laser printer is, you know, black and white, and it's more efficient. So we have everything we need out there to run this program. We might have to boost up the server, but that's about it.
So you're talking a memory board?
And that would be a one-time thing, and we could take care of that just on what we're going to save in maintenance and upkeep on this. You know, what we have, you have to compare what the economists refer to as the cost of doing business. If the cost of doing business here were zero, then you could, you know, say, wow, I want to look at another project. I want to bring back, you know, I want to review this stuff because there's no cost. That's not the issue here. The issue here is every day that you run that thing, you're paying variable and fixed costs that I can give you just a simple example. We run payroll and we run 20 some checks, okay? And it takes the payroll person X number of hours to do it. On this type of system, and the payroll person watched Montecito run the payroll, okay? They can do it three times faster. Three times, not once, not twice, but three times. So you pay unnecessary staff time, excess auditor fees. People want a report. They want it on a sheet of paper like this. They don't want it on that green tractor feed dinosaur that's out there. And then even if you get it on there, okay, then you have to take it there and make a copy and give it to somebody. Yeah. So nothing is free. This system, when you do the payroll, will actually track the benefits, the cost of the employees. If you make an error, for example, in the deductions of an employee for their pension plan or whatever, we're liable for that. If you make an error when you calculate how much money goes to the state or federal taxes, you can get fined for that. I'm not confident that the system we have
is actually accurate to the point that, I'm comfortable with. But I assure you that if I have this system and January 1st comes in and it knows what happened in California and it just boots up and I punch it up there, the upgrade, and it figures the new Social Security rate for next year of $1,837.14 per month, and then if we do that, we would still pay the maintenance, or I would actually consider the $3,043.11 because that's the total. Then that's it. You don't have to call someone else in to come and, you know, repair the system. You don't have to train somebody at that amount of money. If you have a question, they have a backup 24/7. And you know what? They speak English. I've been involved in systems that, you know, just to mention one, for example, a QuickBooks Pro nonprofit system. But if you go to the help thing, you get somebody in some, I don't know what country, but it's not this one. It's offshore somewhere, and they don't speak English. Well, okay, they speak English, but, and then you have downtime, you have errors. Here you buy efficiency, you buy accuracy, and you have a long-term cost that's reasonable. So I have no problem recommending a yes vote. If I had a problem, I wouldn't recommend it. It took me, I started working on this project in October. Mm-hmm. I bring it before you today, and even for the last, to make sure that there was no loose ends, I actually sent a copy of the contract to our attorney and had him look it over. So that all I need is a yes vote for what's your pleasure? $1,837.14 for 1 month, I'm asking, for June. Because when we get the July budget, it's going to be in there as an expense, just like the gas, the light, the telephone, something that we need to run the district.
When you set up a new system, you usually run parallel for a while with the old system? Is that how they work?
Thank you for the question. Typically, it's not necessary. The way our implementation method works is that we take the data and we map it with our programming and our programmers, that is, and we actually test it. So we perform that process of testing, making sure payroll's balancing to the penny and utility bills are accurate, and that's done before training. And then when we come on site, we train on a sample environment, and then we get caught up on work by taking the staff live. And so we actually get work entered with a trainer on site, and then we actually do it in a week. We're producing checks out of the payroll. Here, depending on when you implement, you know, at year end, you may have to look at two books for transaction detail, but year end balances will be accurate out of our system standalone. So it just kind of depends on what you're looking for at year end. But basically, did I answer your question?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were looking at how you were going to be able to have a historical record of what's happened for that particular year without having to have it separated into two different accounting systems.
Right. Okay. Well, we have included some data conversion on some of the modules that the staff felt like were critical to have that data or that history there. So we're going to convert that information to have that within our system day one. Other data would just be accumulated and over time in other systems. So it kind of, you know, there's some details in a proposal that can outline that if you want to look at more details. But basically, the point is that we will convert the data, we'll map it in, we'll test it, and when we take you live, your system will be up to date on the day that we leave.
Okay, and what's the timeline as far as implementation?
Typically, the process takes about 6 months from the time you sign. Then we begin the consultative phase where we come on site, we analyze the business processes, and we start the data conversion process. And that testing phase typically takes 2 to 3 months. Then in months 4 and 5, we actually begin the training phases, and then the go live and the follow-up training in months, you know, month 6, and then we might come back in month 8 or so just to see how everybody's doing. And that was also included in our project, is some follow-up training.
And when would this... if you had an approval tonight, when would that start?
We don't have a date to give you just because a lot of things depend on the staff and how quickly they want to move and what months make sense for them and what weeks within those months make sense. So typically we have about a three-month backlog of already scheduled contracts that are going live. Beyond that, it's just how quickly the staff wants to work. And so there's
okay,
some.
So you couldn't start for at least 3 months is what you're saying?
We could not be on site for 3 months. That our backlog is for trainers. We okay. would start the data conversion, the business processes right away.
Okay, and how long does that data conversion take?
Again, about in months two and three, typically, is what we're
Between
working
months,
on with
two
data
and three.
Conversion. But again, if some agencies don't provide us the data right away that we ask for, then that might slip a little bit. So there's a partnership there where we rely basically on a survey to be filled out.
The other site, Alexis, I think, knows more about this system than some of your staff.
They
put it up and running in a lot less time. I believe it was almost, 50 or 55% less than it happened at Heritage Ranch. Right. And I hope, I've been working with Alexis at great lengths on this, that with her help, I want this system up and running sooner rather than later, because the old one is costing me money.
All right. I'm still having the problem with this financial, these numbers coming to us here at the meeting. And I know with you, just like you, Jim, you get these warrants last minute and looking at numbers and you don't like voting on them, and I don't blame you if you haven't had a chance to look over them. And that's the problem we have here, is we've not given these numbers to us in a timely manner so we can look over and see what's positive, which one of these two are the best choice for the district and what the difference is. I know I'd like to have a staff report explaining this out instead of just what I could catch here listening to it verbally, and then have this on our next agenda to proceed with it at that point.
Well, I'd like to see the proposal from the company.
Yeah. The contract,
because
that's
what we're talking about signing. And I also want to make sure that we're okay with this bidding process, or that we're following what we're supposed to do. So those are the two things that I'd like to see.
Could the talking in the audience please cease? Thank you. So we need a copy of the contract as well, so we can look over the contract when you give them to the attorneys.
And the attorney has looked at the contract already.
Right, and we would like to see it as well. Okay, and so let's do that then. Unless there's an objection, we bring this back to our next meeting with the this information.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
It seems to me that this has been going on for a long time to get this stuff done, and you gave your staff the job to go out there and find a system and bring it back here. And this has, been a lot of work on this. And
about having this information ahead of time to look at it and to know and be able to see the contract as well to know exactly what we're approving. And then 2 weeks more shouldn't be a problem. I think you pretty much got a consensus of the board in the sense that this is the way we want to go. And I think that the amount of time to get it up and running won't change any in that sense. So that would be the way I'd like to see it go. Just bring it back to the next meeting. Give us this information in a staff report, spelled out black and white, so we can know exactly what we're voting on and what the costs are and why, what's the benefits of each of these two different pricing structure.
The general manager provided information to us in the last week's report, and with all due respect, I think he could have gone into the office and asked those questions over the last couple weeks if they were that much on your mind. One of the things that bothers me about delaying this process is we don't know where we're at today in terms of our financial position. We've got Lopez bills that we know are fairly high, higher than budgeted. We don't know, because our audits haven't been able to be up to date. We're running a year behind on our audits, almost 2 years now. We don't know where we're at financially. We need to do something drastically so that we can get an idea of where we are, because quite frankly, we don't know where we are. And the only way we're going to find out where we are is to implement a system of this nature. And I think just standing by and having this information presented and then...
I just don't see the 2 weeks to be able to look over these numbers and see what exactly is being... what we're paying for, and making an educated decision, and not a decision based on information that we get here at this meeting at this point in time, so that we can see it. And questions do come up, but that's not the case here. The case here is that we just got these costs and this information now, it's part of a typical problem where we're not getting the information in staff reports prior to the meetings happening. And I just, I can't make a decision on which one of these is better without time to look it over and study it. And I don't think anybody here can. Okay.
Well, I can, because I trust the staff to make the wisest decision to bring to the board and vote on it for the people of Oceano. So I can trust the staff in doing that. And that's what we charge them with, is please investigate this and find out what's best for our district and move forward.
So just
bring us the best information. And I'm sorry, I don't feel financially in the dark like you. The numbers have, the proposals have been there.
Okay, well, we've talked about this one enough. I can see I don't have a problem probably supporting this at the next meeting when I've looked over these numbers and looked at what the options are, these two options are, but I'm, and I think that that would be the better way to go, and then we can look toward getting a unanimous decision on this. And the 2 weeks, I don't think the 2 weeks is going to make a difference. So what's the pleasure of the board?
Would you commit to choosing one of these options at the next meeting?
Yeah, actually, I'm fairly well sold on this system. Okay, I would like to know just a little bit more information about what else is out there, and
see it also, because we've got word of mouth here, and I understand that. I've been writing furiously here, but I need a little time. I always do. To consider it. And I like what I'm seeing. I looked it up on the internet. I reviewed what you had in your separate accounts, and there's a tremendous amount of stuff in there, tremendous amount of stuff. And I just had a couple more. Yeah, I just need to see it. I need to see what I'm committing to. This is going to be for 5 years, and I don't think 2 weeks is going to make a heck of a lot of difference for us. So I'd like to see it come back if possible.
I think it's very irresponsible to voting on something you haven't seen the contract for and you just now get the numbers for. So I know you want to stop. As long as we can go ahead and as long as we don't have any objections, I'd like to bring this back the next meeting with this information answered. Is that okay?
I understand. General Manager has a question or comment.
Okay.
I just wanted to conclude with, when I look at the agenda, it says discussion and recommended approval of new purchase of accounting software. Now, I've heard 7 times in the last 12 minutes about the two proposals. There are not, I repeat, there are not two proposals before you. There is one proposal that we put $41,000 down and we lease the balance. And that comes out to be $1,837.14 a month. Now, I went the extra mile, okay, to get a second one. As a matter of fact, the first one stated...
Second what?
As a matter of fact, the first one that says the $1,837.14 lease is dated February 3rd. And the one that says...
I'm sorry.
The one that says the $3,043.11 is dated March 1st. And the reason I did that was... because I wanted to give the board absolutely all the information possible to make a good decision. See, the difference is it's still the same contract, the total contract. It's still 60 months lease. You get it for a dollar at the end. The only difference is one has the maintenance cost, and I'll gladly make that recommendation. I suggest... the $3,043.11, because then I know that year 3, year 4, year 5, my maintenance cost is fixed.
Okay, good. Then put it in a staff report. Get the information to
the Blackboard. I've done all the staff reports that I can possibly think of. There was one in the Week at a Glance, and there was one on this agenda tonight. And if I write a staff report, it'll be a paragraph saying pick one or the other. And if you want my recommendation, I'll give it to you. But I would still rather you voted up or down.
All right. As I said before, unless there's an objection, I want to bring this back at the next meeting and have a chance to look over the these items and look over the contract. So... this takes us on to item number 8.
I think we need to proceed with this, Vern. We've spent enough time on it. It's been years in coming, and I'm tired of flying blind here. Okay. So I would move that we approve the staff recommendation to enter into the lease agreement with the maintenance... as recommended.
I'll second that motion.
What was recommended? What maintenance? The one at the $33,043 a month, or the one at the $1,837.14 a month?
$3,043, which includes all of the maintenance and training.
$3,043.
Okay. That's exactly $3,043.11.
Okay.
And I seconded that.
Okay, then this is going to probably end up causing us more problems. Okay. Roll call vote, please.
We have to call for public comment.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Vice President Dean?
No, I wanted to come back.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
No. I can bring it back to the next agenda since Barbara is not here. And this takes us to item number 8E, which is also needs to be pulled and brought back to the next agenda. There was no staff report with this. It wasn't, it's not described well enough to even know for sure what we're discussing.
I'm
not done talking yet. You can talk afterwards. It's listed on the agenda as a recommended approval, which is not from the staff. It's a recommended approval. It's a board member recommended approval.
Are we discussing it now, or
no,
are you tailoring the agenda?
You're out of order. Wait until it's your turn.
What's new?
Wait until it's your turn to talk. You'll be able to address
the issue. I want to know if you're editing the agenda or if you're doing an editorial.
Okay, I am describing the reasons I'm pulling it from the agenda.
What?
Okay. All right. There were issues with it. There's no staff report. We don't know exactly what we're going to be discussing or what's being recommended. There's the recommendation is not coming from as I understand it, from the general manager. The recommendation is not from staff on here. It's a recommendation from a board member, and that's probably in itself a Brown Act violation, although I don't know for sure, because it's a communication from a board member to the rest of the board members on what that is expected to be done. The description under what's being put down here is not what's being talked about, but a definition of Robert's Rules of Order. So, and it also had not been approved to go on the agenda.
And you're so the only one that's allowed to discuss.
No, it needs to come. It needs to be a staff report, so we know, so everybody knows what we're going to be discussing and what's proposed.
Because it appears that you're the only one doing the discussing at this point on this item.
No, I'm just describing the reason I'm pulling it.
The reason you're pulling it. Okay. It's your board.
Can I ask a question? Why do you need to pull it when it's asking for a discussion?
Discussion of what and recommended
Robert's
approval?
Rules of Orders.
Are we going to discuss?
It's not a staff function.
Okay.
I think we have problem with, if I may, with our current rules of order, which state that any board member may put something on the agenda.
That's
and,
true.
I'm the person who recommended this be put on the agenda and requested that it be so. And I'm somewhat distressed that having gone to the trouble to do that, that it seems that the president wanted to pull this off. I don't see anything in the rules of order currently that allow the president to do that. Nor do I see anything in the rules of order that says that you can unilaterally pull something off here this evening.
Okay. There's the issue here is there's no staff report. It wasn't approved to go on in the first place. And although let me finish now. Any board member can put anything on the agenda they want on there, or could put items on the agenda, but it doesn't necessarily have to go on the next agenda. It doesn't say that the board member can put anything on the next agenda. It's on can put things on the agenda. It also states that the president approves the agenda. This needs to be further explained so we know what we're talking about, so we don't come to this meetings thinking that with a proposal that one of us has for the others and one of us is recommending for the others and communicating a recommendation as if it is coming from staff here to do something that we don't know what particularly we're talking about. I don't have a problem with putting it on the agenda. I just have a problem with it showing up at the last minute of what's supposed to be talked about.
That's not right. That's not fair either. You come in and you change this stuff every week, and we don't get the reports till late to start with. And then if somebody wants to put an item on here, you immediately want to take it off because it's not something in particular that you want on there.
No, I don't have a problem with discussing it. Well, I just want to know what it is.
It's a discussion. I'd like to ask legal counsel, is Robert's Rules of Order, are they fluid or are they basic?
On the agenda, I think discussion is not inappropriate on this.
Okay, yeah. But it also is that it's not a problem with process is probably the problem here more than anything. And with our process, we need to know, we need to have staff reports to know what exactly what's going on at these meetings when we come here, to stop getting these surprises all the time. I don't have a problem having a discussion about
whatever. Are we talking about personnel? Are we talking about, stop going off topic, Vern. You're going, keep going after personnel. Just stick to the issue.
I'm not going after personnel or anything. I'm going after looking at process. We need to know exactly what it is that's being proposed and not hear what's being proposed at the meetings. I mean, are you proposing changing our entire rules to Robert Rules of Order? Are you proposing adding Robert's Rules of Order to it? Are we, you know, I mean, none of this is nobody knows. The staff didn't know. And I don't mind bringing it on. Bring it on to the next meeting. Just update staff on what's going on, what you want to be talked about, what the proposal is. Okay, let staff evaluate the proposal. Okay, and then give their recommendation on the proposal. But I mean, is this a recommendation to approve a discussion? I mean, I don't have a problem with having discussion or having it on the agenda. I just want to be able to know exactly what we're talking about.
Man, Raphael, may I ask you what when the agendas are made up, when is the due date for items to be put forth to be put on the agenda? What date do you suggest the board members have it in?
I always, you know, recommend that we get the information sometime on Wednesday, so we have Thursday to put it together and then get it out on Friday. But I have literally taken stuff as late as Friday before noon because I have a different philosophy.
I'm trying to figure out. So the things get to you by Wednesday. They get to the president and out to the rest of the board by Friday, right?
Yes,
they
ma'am.
Have till the following Wednesday to review, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
So the president has as much time to review the agenda as everybody else.
Actually, he has more because he sees it before I send it out.
Ah, so it's reviewed before it's put in our packets by the president.
And supposed to be approved, the agenda to go on. And once they're ready, they have to go on. Going to be a long discussion if we continue on with this.
It's almost 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
We should vote to continue past 10 to finish this.
Wanted to add, it'll take me less than 2 minutes, and that is I spoke with the lawyer about this Monday morning at 9 o'clock. I spoke with Alex. Because we have to tell the truth here. That's the only story I know how to tell.
Right.
And what happened on this item was, long in advance, I was asked to put it on the agenda. And I did. And it was on the agenda. Then, last week, the Honorable President came in my office and wasn't happy that it was on the agenda. And I tried.
That's not quite an accurate...
Are you interrupting?
Now, wait a second. I have the floor, and I tried at great lengths to explain to the Honorable President that the way I understand the rules, any director can put something on the agenda. As a matter of fact, I attempted to explain it to him for an hour and 22 minutes, and at the end, he was adamantly that he wanted it pulled. I told him, I says, if you want me to pull it, I will, but when I'm asked why it's not in the agenda, I'm going to tell the truth. Well, then later on Friday, Director Hill stopped by my office, which he often does on Friday, to talk about, you know, the agenda or about things that he has concerns about or the week at a glance. And I was asked as to whether or not it was on the agenda. I had to tell the truth. And the truth was that the president pulled it. So then I received another email in writing quoting chapter and verse as to why it should be on the agenda. I put it back on.
Excuse me, I can't hear up here. I'm sorry.
So I thought the board should know that the procedure was followed completely. Now, what I tell you, it's all I do is tell the truth. So I put it on the agenda. And now as far as usually, you know, I read the item, I put it on the agenda because I was asked to. But nobody asked me as far as if the first three agendas of this year we never got through. The fourth one we rushed through. So if someone asks, do we have problems with the agenda, the answer is yes. If you want a recommendation from the general manager as to whether or not we should consider Robert's Rules of Order, my suggestion is yes. And with that, I would ask that either make a motion to extend the time or adjourn, whatever is your pleasure. That concludes my report.
I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Okay, we have one very important thing still has to be taken care of. Gina? Yes.
Move that we extend to consider the cleaning and inspection of sewer and water.
Yes. We already have a motion to adjourn.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay. Motion to extend.
I move that we extend the meeting for 2.5 minutes.
We already have a motion on the floor. We have a motion on the floor to extend the meeting in order to take care of item number 10A. Do I have a 10A. Second?
Right.
Do I have a second?
I second that. I want to get this finished.
Okay.
I'd like to get it longer. We could go to 10:30.
Well, the motion was to continue just to do the utilities billing item or the emergency declaration. I'm sorry. That was for the emergency declaration.
Is there a motion on the floor to accept the emergency declaration?
It's already motioned and
seconded.
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carries 5-0.
No.
So this. Is there any public comment on the cleaning inspection and the continued declaration of emergency? Okay. Hearing none. Bring it back to the board. Additional discussion? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
We don't even have
a motion.
You had a motion. The motion is to extend the meeting. I'm sorry. Any public comment on extending the meeting? Okay. Bring it back to the board. Long enough to do item number 10A. That was the motion in the. And then we had a. Do we have a vote on that already? I'm a little bit.
Yes, we did.
Okay, so we did have a. We did extend it. Okay. Now we have the declaration of emergency. Sorry. General Manager Montemiro.
Its next regularly scheduled meeting and at every regularly scheduled meeting thereafter until an action is terminated to determine by 4/5 vote that there is a need to continue the action. The recommended action before the board is to approve. That concludes my report.
Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none, bring it back to the board. Roll call vote, please. Any discussion here? Okay. Let me take a breath. Get myself back in the direction of exactly where I'm at. Okay, so we have the introduction, we've had public comment. Any discussion on this item? Item 10A on the emergency disclosure. Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we continue the disclosure of the emergency for cleaning and inspection of the sewer and water lines.
A second.
Okay. All right. Any additional discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Vice President
Dean.
Yes.
Yes.
Director Hill.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. That means we are now adjourned.